Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
On the bench, Xanax, suit up. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Said that Castro was making a speech to a large assembly. And he was going on at great length, and then a voice out in the crowd said, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack." And he went on speaking. And again, the voice said, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack." And about the fourth time this happened, he stopped in his regular speech. And he said, the next time he says that, he says, "I'm going to find out who he is and kick him all the way to Miami." And everybody in the crowd said, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack."
Do I love that? Man, he had a great sense of humor. All right, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. You're halfway through your week. Just want you to know. That feels good, doesn't it? It's a crazy week, but it feels good. Welcome, and you can go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts. You can actually share those. We've done a lot this week so far. We've talked about Gaggle, the new program that schools want to implement that goes in, surpasses passwords, and it goes in and it can monitor, the schools can monitor social media and their emails, and if they say anything that they deem inappropriate, they can actually then report you and to the administration that your kid, and even though they don't know the context, so they don't understand if it was in humor, because, you know, kids tease each other and they're not allowed to teach each other. And as far as that goes, that whole podcast, it's a short, you can get it right on katedalyradio.com. School districts across the country right now are wanting to implement that, so they become their own little pre-crime Gestapo. That sounds good, doesn't it? Warms the heart, truly. Also, we talked about green bonds, all kinds of things. There's so much there because it isn't about the environmentalism of climate change. That's a little bit more for the show aspect to get people emotionally hooked. It's more about the money. Who developed the green bonds under the Obama administration in 2013, and then what happened with those bonds with the banks, the big banks, and how they're utilizing those bonds to create trillions of dollars for themselves. So there's just so many things there. Grab these podcasts, share them far and wide. Go to katedalyradio.com. You can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. And also on Facebook, it's The Kate Daly Show. On Twitter, it's The Kate Daly Show. Easy to find, right? And then go to Balance of Nature. There's a reason I talk about that, about this nutrient source, and it's because it's that good. And let me tell you, it's easy to take. 15 seconds and you're out the door, but you've got 10, 11 servings of fruits and vegetables. You need to have this in your storage. You need to have this right now. Your body needs it now because you're not getting the nutrients that you need. And so this is so important. I welcome Susan Reeve to the show. Hello.
Hello. Great.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're back. You were ill last week. I'm glad you're back this week. And so where do we start, Susan? There's a lot here.
There is a lot. And you were just mentioning comedy, and I didn't have a chance last week to talk about the Joker movie. I just wanted to mention that briefly. The director has come out because he's getting so much heat. For those who haven't kept up on what's happening, there's a movie coming out called The Joker that idealizes him, the character.
Yeah. It makes him like the protagonist, like a you just don't know him kind of bad guy.
Right. Okay. So a justifiable bad guy. Right. It justifies his violence. But the director has come out and said, I'm getting off social media. He says, try and be funny nowadays with this woke culture. He says comedy doesn't work anymore. Stuff just isn't working anymore. So he's pushing back on the media frenzy that said, you know, we just have to shut you down.
Right.
And Jerry Seinfeld, other comedians have also said there's something going on that we're getting. It's called cancel culture. Cancel culture. So anyway, that I had wanted to mention that because that is still such a big thing. I don't advocate going to the movie. But to see this hysteria again.
The hysteria is out of control.
How does the things get whipped up into these tornadoes of intensity?
You know what? It's strange because they were blaming the added police presence at all the premieres on historical significance.
and I'm doing air quotes as I'm saying that.
I see her doing the air quotes.
Historical significance because of one shooting. That's not, I'm sorry, is that significantly, historical? They're ramping up the hysteria, and they have this very good reason to do it, right? Even though it's madness. We keep being silent about that, too.
Yes.
And we keep being silent about the police state that we keep incurring over and over again because they can say, well, it's historically significant. You know, that's how it sounds to me. I'm like, really? Thank you for those two made-up words put together that mean nothing comparatively to the situation at hand. So it's ridiculous.
It is.
But we keep being silent.
Right.
So that's our problem.
Well, and it's going to stand on its own. I do believe that people will be influenced by it. I do believe mm-hmm. there is something called an incel culture, which is it's for involuntarily celibate, for people who cannot connect with other people. And it's sad, and it's a symptom of our society. And we need to do more reaching out and recognize more people who struggle mm-hmm. with not feeling connected to other people.
Right.
So that's really the bottom line on that.
Yeah. But the turning the Joker into this protagonist
who does
it's kind of like the show Lucifer. I caught this one statement. My son had turned it on, and it was on for just a few minutes, and I happened to catch him going, Lucifer, you're not a bad guy. You punish the people that do bad things. Hello, that is absolutely not correct. I'm sorry. So we're twisting and turning and twisting and turning, and we're trying to all make sense of it, but it's being so twisted.
Well, and it's being so sold to us. It's being so softened as we understand how people get there. And they do. I mean, there is a psychological reason and biological reasons people end up in these situations. But to make characters heroes who are evil, mm-hmm. evil people, it means that we have failed to remember what evil looks like.
Right.
You know, it's not tossing a can out of your car and littering.
I'll never forget when Hillary was running for president and my very conservative state paper in a very conservative state didn't talk about all her crime or the 90 people that have been murdered around her. Oh, no. You know, because everybody has 90 people around them that are suddenly murdered for the strangest reasons and not solved. But they were writing an article about her making soup. And I went, I'm sorry, I have a... soup? I don't even think she's been in a kitchen. What do you mean soup? And she made soup for a coworker. So just concentrate on that.
Like Martha Stewart.
Yes, and it was even an intern. I mean, you know, this pathetic
mother.
Little waif of an intern. And there was old good old Hillary making her homemade pot of stew. And I just went, oh my gosh, we're in trouble.
Is there a more cold-blooded woman in the major media? I don't think so.
Ooh,
she
long
has
history.
Ice in her veins, ice water.
Terrible.
So anyway, and the other thing I wanted to bring up is there is a warfare going on in San Francisco, boulder warfare. That means big, big rocks. A group of business people were so fed up with the homeless problem of people camping in front of their businesses, impeding traffic.
I can't forget the pooping part because they have feces maps. But
the filth. And so they said, let's get together. They bought 25 massive boulders mm-hmm. to line the sidewalk so mm-hmm. that people couldn't camp there. That's such an intriguing solution. And it worked.
Yes.
It worked well. The city freaked out. The homeless coalition freaked out. And they removed those boulders so fast. There was such swift action. Yeah, not swift action for the poop. Swift action for those boulders that couldn't be there because it's considered anti-homeless.
You are kidding. Why don't they just send them to Feinstein's house or Pelosi's house?
I'm sure they have extra bedrooms there, but you know what? That's
darn.
No, not going to happen.
I can't
Something
believe
tells
that,
me. Not,
so business owners aren't allowed to protect themselves.
No, and they're not allowed to come up with their own solutions that work.
Wow.
Because that seems hostile. Well, and really people honestly say, we don't understand why this is happening. It can't be fixed. It's because there's an underlying purpose mm-hmm. for the homeless to remain there, which is to provide a head count and funding for the city that gets money per homeless person.
Ah, gotcha.
So once those people, if they went away, mm-hmm. the dynamics of the city processes would change. The money wouldn't be there and mm-hmm. the people wouldn't be there. And you can't use them as a headcount for the census, which means greater representation in Congress. So there is this huge underlying motive, and it's tragic and it's evil to pin your dreams on sick, helpless people. Well, they're not helpless. Dr. Drew said something interesting. He has studied addiction for several decades, and he said as he studied it, he realizes that it is an attraction to the lifestyle, a lifestyle of no responsibility. And so you basically just maintain what you're doing in the simplest way possible without taking on any responsibility. And a lot of the homeless have cut off contact with their family.
Sure.
Why? Because their family wants them to be responsible.
Right. Right.
So when you really see the racket that's being run on the back of the homeless, in some ways they are victims because they could be doing better.
Ah, but they could choose. They can also choose. I think there are some with some severe mental illness.
They're enabled to a large extent. Sure. And yes, the mentally ill ones are tragic.
Yeah.
But this is different.
About loss of accountability, loss of responsibility.
Absolutely.
We have a big problem with that right now in our society. Everybody either wants to point the finger or get out of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that leads into another story. Actually, people wonder, you know, all this craving for power, and they think, is it just about wealth? I think it's about something different. I think power does attract people who want lots of options and wealth for getting it in an illegitimate way. But they also want lack of accountability. They don't want to be held accountable.
Right.
And so if you're at the top of some power pyramid, then you're not held accountable. You're doing the rules your way. Look what look what Congress is doing now. Just rewriting
stuff. As they go, apparently.
As they go, yeah. And they can do it because they're at the top of the pyramid. So it's that avoiding accountability, not wanting to be held accountable for crimes, sins, malfeasance. I could go on.
Yeah.
But that's why you have to claw your way to the top. And the reason conservatives, as I think about myself and others, you want power so you can extend freedom and liberty to people, so people can be more free, so society can be more stable with a minimum amount of control. It's the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So true.
They are just clawing their way to the top. And that's why essentially what Dr. Pechenik said, who is the actual Jack Ryan and, you know, in the Tom Clancy movies and books. So there was a real person that was based on it. And it was Tom Clancy's best friend, Dr. Steve Pechenik. He was a Yale educated psychiatrist who served in the military, served in the CIA all over the world. And he said, what we're seeing is indeed a intelligent CIA coup at the highest levels. And Rand Paul agrees, and I guess Ron Paul. And so this is a fight, a clawing to the top, rolling on the ground fight. And we're witnessing it. We're in the middle of it.
We're in the middle of a purple revolution that we didn't realize that we were in
revolution.
That we were in the middle of. It's kind of scary because this is what goes on around
the
country.
The real
too.
Deal.
We think it's political divide.
Yeah, No.
This is a coup.
Yep.
Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
This is not rehearsed. I'm just some person that listened to the commercial and said, you know what? Fruits and vegetables, how can I go wrong? At one point, I was going to stop taking it. And then I got a message saying that even if you stop taking it, you still have your coat for 2 months. And that's when I really realized you people aren't looking for money. You really care about the human being and helping people. So to me, that is the most important thing.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we'll take off an additional $25 on your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight. I'll say goodnight.
We can work it out. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Welcome to all of our global listeners, too, all around the world. I love that you're listening in. And a big shout out to the NSA for listening in today. I appreciate your efforts. You might want to just really take in what we're saying. I'm into educating. And I'm just hoping they're listening hard. it's so fun.
What are the odds?
It's so fun, though. So I welcome you back, and we will take a phone call. And there's some it's two really hot topics I really want to get into with you, Susan, because this is so big. And I'll take the caller first. Hi, caller. Oh, by the way, the phone in line. I can't even talk today. I'm brain mashed today. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you, Kate.
Sure.
You know, one of the things I looked into was this whole thing with Peter Schiff. I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Everybody knows who this guy is. And I have to wonder, how can this guy go off this far off the range and not worry about being reelected?
Right.
So I'm like, well, where in California is he from? I know where I grew up there. I knew what's conservative and what's liberal. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, his district encompasses Burbank, Glendale, La Cañada, Front Ridge, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yep.
This is all conservative country, but I found out, well, no. They redistricted the district, and then now it also encompasses North Hollywood,
West Hollywood.
And that area.
Yeah, West Hollywood's
a winner. West Hollywood. So that they used to be, in before 2000, that district was boarding 60% Republican and 40% Democrat,
right.
And now it's voting 70-80% Democrat and 30%, you know, or give or take, Republican. And this is what's happened to so many areas. You talk about the homeless thing and everything. They have redistricted everything so that it whittles down the vote of the conservatives and the Republicans.
Yeah.
The redistricting is a huge problem.
It is. It's a, absolutely.
Huge. It is. That's how they're manipulating the entire system for their benefit. And, you know, it used to be that at least it was close. Now it's so far out of whack. No wonder he can get away with what he's saying.
Yep.
And this plagiarizing.
Yes. And this is the story for most of California, by the way. There's the big exodus. So exodus of people that are quite conservative. So, yes, I can certainly appreciate that. And the guy is three shades of strange. So,
right. But I still cannot believe that many liberals moved into Burbank, La Cañada, Flint Ridge and Pasadena.
Yeah, it does seem strange.
Something fishy's going on. Yeah, something's odd. I so appreciate that. Thank you.
They took the suburbs and whittled them down by adding them into urban areas with the heavier population.
Absolutely.
I so agree with you. Thank you for that. Yeah, can't argue.
Well, and I don't know how many people remember, but Adam Schiff has this huge tie to a Ukrainian arms dealer. He took hundreds of thousands of dollars from this Ukrainian arms dealer. And, you know, now he's acting all...
Well, there's records of his staff going to Ukraine on his behalf and lots of dealings. There's lots of records there. I mean, it's like it's not hidden.
Yeah. Well, and Ukraine, like nobody ever talked about Ukraine before for years and years. And you know who's over there right now? Now is Tom Cruise. He's scouting Ukraine a film location of all places in the world. Why? Why? Right next to Russia?
Yeah.
Right next to... What's going on? Something...
Particularly this week.
It's very odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
just play connect the dots. And they really are trying to, I think, clean up the swamp a little bit there, too.
And so speaking of cleaning up the swamp, there is a story... at DHS, that there is a mass exodus of Trump appointees, and some of them have not been left voluntarily. So another man was put in on the interim as an interim. His name is Kevin McAllenan. He took over in April, and he has systematically removed Trump political staff and replaced it with a group of career employees who have more in common with the Democrat 2020 field. And so there's a huge resistance movement inside the DHS. And so in the 6 months he's been in, he has exited 17 political appointees in positions close to the acting secretary. And so now they are replaced with people who do not have the same interest as the president. And it says it's been in every office every office and agency. And even though it's a hard place to work, mm-hmm. it's become untenable with him in place. So they're saying, well, now he's making it difficult for anybody. So these are supposed to be interim employees, mm-hmm. but he's making it very difficult for Trump to pick new people to put in there. And so we have to recognize that the swamp fights back, right. that they've got their operatives. And so it's funny that he was put in there, but now he's creating problems. So all we can do is hope, you know, it's like two steps forward, one step back. Mm-hmm. And are we cleaning up the swamp? Who knows? But obviously, the swamp fights back. Big time. They have.
Yes. But they are showing some cracks. And that's always a little refreshing.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. But not to just be naive that mm-hmm. how these things really work in real life and the politics involved. And again, as I talked about power, right. why such a claw for power? Why such this desperation? And there's a lot of desperation. People have things going on and they need the mechanisms and organisms and money flow to keep those things going.
Yeah, they do.
So
they're trying to protect it at all costs.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of protection, mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that the flu vaccine this year is off the mark.
Yeah.
They have mentioned that it's not going to hit as many people mm-hmm. or protect as many people.
They take a stab in the dark. They say, okay, what couple of strains are we going to go after out of the, you know, numerous strains, could be 14, could be 20 or more. Which two strains are we going to do? And then what happens is your body can actually have a reaction to that. And the actual vaccine then prevents you from having the immunity or building the immunity naturally.
Naturally.
Which naturally, you'd get rid of all the strains.
Right.
So then
eventually.
People buy into targeting two and they're guessing.
Yeah.
WHO, World Health Organization, is guessing, right?
Yeah, it's a guess. Yeah. And now they're saying, oh, this one didn't quite work out as well. So people are, there's mm-hmm. so much commercial pressure. Everywhere you go, right. you see, get your flu shot here. And
well,
so
let me just tell you, back 30 years ago, we had 56,000 deaths flu-related, and that's a pretty big umbrella. Then in the year 2000, we had 20,000 deaths, okay? Then we started this huge splurge of making sure that they come to your office, they're everywhere, right? Get the flu shot, 80,000 deaths this last year. I think the number's going up, and nobody's talking about that. So I'd be careful and do homework, wouldn't you say, Susan?
Yeah, we should be really alert mm-hmm. consumers and really stay on top yeah. of this and not assume that they have our best interests. I mean, I hate yeah. to say that cynically, but...
And not everybody around every corner is dying, so
no.
we have to get off of the frenzy. It's like the measles. You get a cold. I mean, get over it. You yeah. know, they were acting like people were dying in the streets of measles. It's ridiculous.
And it's a business to market
yes.
this. So
yes.
they're going to say what's only in their best interest
mm-hmm.
in
yeah.
a big way.
Of course.
So.
Lots of money.
Anyway, there is some actually interesting, I can't even call this good news, but it is about the journalist who was arrested in California for doing undercover videos mm-hmm. of people who sell baby body parts.
Right.
And that was a huge scandal. Those businesses, several of them closed down. But he then was prosecuted by the state of California with 15 felonies mm. for going undercover to do this, even though he checked with his lawyers first to say, can I do this? Is this...
Yeah. See, this whistleblower thrown under the bus and charged
totally.
Criminally. The CIA whistleblower that's anonymous,
yeah.
that's claimed he had firsthand information, still protected. Just wanted to make a note. Go ahead.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So,
the
there's something called a pretrial, and the judge has already thrown out half the charges and said, we're not going to do that. He started originally involved because he had heard and had first or second had knowledge that some twins who were born alive were drowned. And that's how he even got the idea to do this, which
Jeez.
Is just horrifying to think about. But, it was a whistleblower in that case, too. So his defense team did something really wise. They actually hired another abortionist to look at all the films and discuss the procedures that these Planned Parenthood. Yes. And he said, no, if they were using these procedures, these children are absolutely born alive.
So the defense team for this whistleblower that did the videos, they hired an abortionist to actually go in and say whether or not they were born alive or not.
Absolutely. And what was interesting about his story is that he said when this story first came out, he was outraged that somebody would do this, that somebody would go undercover. And he actually said something like, I'm going to get this guy. He was angry. Mm-hmm. Then when he was contacted and went through the material and saw what they were actually doing, because he couldn't believe it. He thought, there's no way.
If you can alarm an abortionist.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's absolutely. And so it said.
Sick.
And some of those videos were Planned Parenthood employees callously and flippantly negotiating the price of tiny baby hearts, lungs, livers, brains.
There are people without souls, and I hope I never have to meet them.
Well, somebody somewhere made the connection between money and body parts and then just went crazy. So this is, we're seeing this unfold. It's not getting hardly any media attention. So I just wanted to mention it because it's worth considering. It's worth keeping in mind that somebody was fighting back against this had an effect. So speaking of fighting back, one of my favorite bloggers, he goes by the name of Sundance on the Conservative Treehouse, wrote an article called Stand. It's on his website, The Conservative mm-hmm. Treehouse. And he said there is something, and he's used the term before, called cold anger. Mm. And cold anger means you are extremely focused. You are extremely observant. And you are collecting all the information. And you have a determination to do something. Nothing violent, mm-hmm. but to change the system somehow. And so he writes, they have gone too far. Donald Trump's supporters are racist, they say, or uneducated or unenlightened. This hate-filled sentiment is clear within the latest corrupt and targeted impeachment attack against the office of the president. And so when they, and as an aside, when they promote that, people are literally convinced that that's true, that the president, mm-hmm. who all these decades wasn't racist, is really right. racist.
Had a black girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah. That's just, they
well,
can't.
Well, he's so racist. I mean, you have a black girlfriend, you're obviously a racist.
It's incomprehensible. He says, now the media narrative controllers are fully engaged, gleeful with impeachment bloodlust amid their broadcast brethren. The raw political corruption is now extreme. And he says, do not look away. As we bear witness, anyone trying to convince us this entire assembly of our union is headed in the right direction, well, they might want to revisit their proximity to the 2020 election ballpark, because they're not just out of the city, they're also out of the same state the election ballpark is located in. Then again, the media know that. So he quotes David Mamet, who is a liberal director. He's been liberal for decades. He became conservative. And what David Mamet revealed in his book, he said, in order for Democrats, liberals, progressives at all to continue their illogical belief systems, they have to pretend not to know a lot of things.
Whoa.
And Sundance adds, by pretending not to know, there's no guilt, no actual connection to conscience. Denial of truth allows easier trespass.
Wow.
And so you wonder, what is the limit? It's our limit. What are we going to tolerate?
Wow. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Mm. Kate Daly Show. Glad you're tuned in. You can go to katedalyradio.com. Call in line is 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. Yes, we're one of the, I think we're one of the few shows that actually take live calls. And we welcome you all over the world listening in on apps or on your local dial or on the internet. Lots of great places and lots of great stations that carry the show. And I really appreciate you more than you know. Because we've got to get more truth out there. I have Susan Reed with
Hello.
Me, always fun, and talking about really a host of principles
yeah.
and issues, and intertwining those so that we can understand what's going on right now in the
Absolutely.
Headlines, but and talk about it. Well, so you were talking about cold anger, and I
yeah.
also wanted to talk about a little bit about foster care with you, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I just wanted to say about cold anger, this is kind of, it's such an interesting principle that Sundance at theconservativetreehouse.com wrote about. And it doesn't need to go to violence. It's not violent. It's conversation. It doesn't require any correctness, but it requires engagement. And it is a rage that the people feel to see such a circus going on in D.C. and to see the corruption and the dual standards for justice. We're not supposed to have dual standards in America.
Right.
And look what Michael Flynn is going through. General Michael Flynn, who was not arrested, but charged on a lie to the FBI. They kind of tricked him into a situation, and they've just put him and his family through hell over just a statement. So we know that there is two standards of justice, and because it's our system that we're supposed to be in charge of, we should not be tolerating it. So the cold anger is really determination to make a change and hold people accountable. And I just wanted to say, too, our representative in Congress and the Senate, I think they need to change their job and up their job a little bit and communicate with us and let us know how they are helping to manage and what they're doing about all this chaos, because we don't hear from them on that front. We don't hear anything about it. And how come they're not communicating with us? We're just left in the dark. So that's, you know, my feeling about that. But I did want to talk briefly about foster care. I'm actually a court-appointed special advocate for children. And that means that a child in foster care gets assigned, I get assigned one case, so it might be a child or a set of siblings, and I take them out once a week and check on them. How is it going? What is happening to you? Are you getting all the things you need? Is school going okay? Okay, I can talk to therapists and teachers and make sure this child is not falling through the cracks.
I love that.
So
what you do.
One of the things that is most difficult is transitioning from foster care into independent living. And so they've tried to make that more of a seamless transition with more support. There is a story, and now there is a film of the story on Netflix, and it's called Unbelievable. And on Netflix, the story is called An Unbelievable Story of Rape, and it's about a foster girl who is transitioning into adulthood, into independent living, and she gets attacked in her apartment alone, and they don't believe her. And then she changes her story, and then you think, well, did this really happen? So she says, maybe I dreamt it. Meanwhile, there is a serial rapist in Colorado doing very similar things. And so the story takes you through her journey of how she was believed, how it damaged her life to not be believed, to not have an advocate with her. And
see,
it's
these are
so
the real
powerful.
Yes. In Hollywood, you have the Hollywood starlet that slept her way to the top and then goes, I was a victim. You know, not during that whole time, because I was trying to get to the top of where I'm at now. But I was a victim. And there's two different victim mentalities there. The girl you're talking about was an actual victim.
Yes.
Yes. And
a vulnerable victim.
Yes.
Extremely vulnerable with no options and parents to go to.
Right. It's just too bad it's being co-opted by the Me Too movement from the starlets that have co-opted that into, I just wanted a career.
Yeah.
So I slept my way to the top, you know? That
like
kind of thing.
Kamala Harris.
It's too bad because then the real victims like this girl.
Yes.
And there's abuse going on in a lot of foster homes.
They're extremely vulnerable. And I think that is my major point of how vulnerable these children are.
Some.
Right. But they're just vulnerable and susceptible to things happening to them and not being taken care of afterwards in a way that works for them. And so I would encourage people, it won a Pulitzer Prize for the article in 2016. It's called An Unbelievable Story of Rape on ProPublica.org. And the Netflix, of course, and I have to warn you that the Netflix version is kind of language spicy and intense because of the story. But what you realize from a citizen's point of view is that there needs to be a better system in place, that what is the system currently everywhere there needs to be more eyes on and accountability.
Right.
And so that's as a CASA, and I would encourage people to look that up too at CASA, CASA.org, and see what they can do in their state. Each state and each court district has their own CASA set up. So anyway, it's just been a phenomenal experience for me to meet children and families and help them in such an important way. So things do not slip through the cracks because there's so much.
It's so rewarding.
Yeah, it's rewarding. And attorneys who represent these children, the guardian ad litems, have like 100 cases. They can't keep all the new developments and all the details in mind. So you are the person, you are the point person, and you go to court and you provide information to the attorney.
Wow.
It's really a brilliant system, and it's made a huge difference. So anyway, it relates to, when you see the story, how a CASA could have helped her.
Wow.
Yeah, I loved it. Anyway, well, that's just so, it's just something that we don't see. It doesn't rise to the level of visibility.
I know it.
Yeah. So
let me say this. A couple of things on my mind, too. Number one, make sure you get to the podcast and listen to The Wave. The Wave was a 1967 classroom in California where the teacher decided to do an experiment after the kids learned about what happened in Nazi Germany. They were asking, how could that happen? How could certain citizens go to kill other citizens under those reasons, and how could they afterwards go, well, I didn't do anything wrong, you know, I was just following orders. How do you get into that kind
justify
it? Yeah. And I've done, there's going to be a podcast available taking you through that and playing some clips from that show. It became an after-school special in 1981, but it was 1967. It was a true story. Ron Jones was the teacher that did it. He was actually fired afterwards, but he did it, and in 1 week turned the kids into basically Nazis.
Fascists.
In 1 week.
Fascist, yeah. Socialist
you
Nazis.
You would think it would take like
months
or a year. No, 1 week.
Brainwashing, yeah.
And they were already tattling on each other, at each other's throats, in a club where only certain people were invited. I mean, it was just insane how
all
it took place.
All the hostility.
And it tells you how he did it, how he did it. And the mechanism to how he did it is, it so needs to be listened to. It so needs to be viewed. You can actually view the movie, which is like 40 minutes, for free on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's called The Wave. But you really need to check that out, because I did the show on it, and I take you through his thoughts. So when you watch the movie, you're not going to get what his thoughts were behind this. But I'm telling you on the podcast, his thoughts, what he was going through when he was doing it and what he was thinking about. And that is really fascinating to hear what was actually going on, because there was more details than what was in the movie.
Right.
The movie version of it. Okay.
Yeah.
And Bruce Davidson stars as the teacher. But it's so neat how he layered certain things on top of certain things to get them to do things.
To ease into it.
Yes, it was amazing. And how much we want that praise and we want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
You were just talking about accountability, and it just spurred that, because I thought his conclusion was these students wanted to be told what to do. They craved it. Then they craved praise when they did it.
Yeah.
And when we have groups like Antifa, and we have groups like all of these things, you wonder how people could be part of that. Oh my gosh. Give them a little bit of a reason to be part of an elite group that nobody else is a part of and think that they're taking this action, and bam. So listen to that on podcast. Well worth it. And also I wanted to touch on this. We might talk about this tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow, Chris Ann Hall and Dave Janda from Operation Freedom.
Oh, wow.
Who just interviewed General McErnie.
Oh, great.
And he'll be fantastic tomorrow. So that hour of the show, amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
But communist China and its decades-long dark practice of harvesting organs, there was a great piece. All you got to do is go to Dave Bohon, Bohon, and he did a great piece on, I think at the New American, actually, on exposing this, on exposing the taking of organs, this gruesome
practice from prisoners
mm-hmm. and religious prisoners. And, you know, I just want us to think about that for a minute. And if we knew some of this was going on in our country right now, maybe we'd feel a little differently, because it's over there. We don't think about it as much.
No.
We don't give it a lot of thought. But we have over 1 million people right now that are in camps over there that nobody ever hears about. Nobody hears the stories. And we're living through a moment in our history, current history, if you will, of having 1 million people that are in these camps, and things like this are going on there. And they've already determined that they have live organ harvesting, all kinds of things happening to these people that are kept in these camps in China. And people in the world are just not discussing it. And that amazes me, because if we don't think that can happen here or is happening here, who knows? How would you know?
Right. And any time a person or a country starts to look at people as a commodity,
yes,
like we can make money off your body,
yes,
then what in the world? Then there's nothing to stop them, and they don't feel they have inherent value.
Exactly. And so here's the deal. We have these things called CMUs, and one is right here where we're live in Illinois. They have a CMU. It's called a Communication Management Unit, and it's a management unit for political prisoners. And so even pre-crime political prisoners. And what they do is they lock them away. They could be in solitary for 20 years. Congress has the oversight over it, but they don't do anything with it. And so the tyrannicals that run these communication management units, mm-hmm. which is like the worst form of prison, is going on right now in our country, and they can do what they want. There's no oversight whatsoever. If they say you get 1 2-minute phone call every week and they take it away for whatever reason they want, they have no recourse. Nobody's looking out after it. Congress has turned a blind eye. We have these things going on in the United States right now. And this is where Schaefer Cox is. I've done the Schaefer Cox story,
right.
And he's in a communication management unit.
It's unbelievable.
It's sick. It's sick because you fear for your life every day.
Yeah.
You're stuck in solitary for
right.
long periods of time, which is really inhumane. And like Schaefer's case, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
He was never, had no crime whatsoever. And so the government was really, really afraid of him talking about the Constitution, talking about things. And so they actually gave this guy trying to get out of a sentence, what do you call it? My brain just fried. Informant, the ability to just go
accuse.
After him. Oh, go after him and accuse. And that became fact. And that became his case.
Isn't that
20 years not being able to hug his kids, nothing. And so we have to be on the alert as we read these stories from China. And I'm so glad this piece was done
right.
because it's bringing and shedding a light on it. But we have these atrocities going on right now. And, you know, for all of the wars that we start based on human rights or
allegedly
people being gassed, or they always say it's the dictator that just went wonky and now he's
all
gassing,
of a sudden just gassing
yeah,
his people.
Just completely just all randomly.
Out of character.
And
yeah, Syria.
And when you know stuff like this is mm-hmm. going on, do we ever hear a peep about China in that same reign? Do we rush in to go to war?
No.
Of course not, because it's always political and it's always used as the human affront. Oh my gosh, see people, you'll get on board with war because people are being harmed.
Remember Iraq, they said babies were being taken out of incubators.
Yeah.
And they had the big test and it was a lie.
It was a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the Kurds
taking over parts of Iraq
right.
that were moving in, and
allegedly
that's who was gassed, not the not his own citizenry,
right,
but those taking the land and saying Iraq is now ours. And so there's just so much backstory to this to try and fit into a last minute of the show. but I just wanted to say that we need to be so cognizant of what's happening in our country right now. We have these CMU units and nobody knows what's going on in them. They have no way to get information out because all information's so vetted that they literally, you cannot even whistleblow. You can't get anything out on what's happening. Can you imagine being in a prison where you can't get any information out?
You're totally helpless.
I feel for Schaefer Cox. I feel for the people inside those CMUs. It's
well,
horrific.
They say the people in Hong Kong are fighting so hard because they don't want to get arrested, transported
yeah.
to China, and
right.
have their organs harvested.
Yes,
which,
live
yes.
organ harvesting, by the way,
yes.
guys.
So
we're into some sick devaluing of
human life. Well,
yeah.
Cold anger, just on that note, it drives a reckoning. There will be a reckoning.
Interesting.
And we will be part of it.
Interesting. Susan, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Susan Reeve. We'll be back tomorrow with Dave Janda from Operation Freedom. And he was the physician turned radio host last time I had him on. And then also Chris Ann Hall as well. So see you back here tomorrow. Everybody be faithful, be fearless. This is the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com for podcasts. See you tomorrow. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.